Broadcasting live from a very different location, from the sixth floor of the Hotel Van Sant in downtown beautiful Austin, Texas. You are listening to your favorite blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. I would assume, because the only device that I've got tonight is my cellular phone, that I don't have my normal setup that I have for this podcast, that the Yogi's Podcast Network and the Dose Leprechauns podcast will give me a grace period, just because this is a very different location, this is a different setting, coming to you very much from the heart of Texas, as in Austin, Texas. And to be honest, it's been a good visit. You know, right now Blockhead is very much in social studies overload, to say the least. It's been a great time with some great friends, with some great colleagues, very good presentations, very good convention here for the National Council for the Social Studies. It's been a good time. I will tell you that when I look at Austin, Texas, because I can see that out my window now, I can tell you it's a little bit quizzical when I look at it. From an entrepreneurship standpoint, I can see where the money is to be made. I'm seeing a brand new hotel being reconstructed right outside the window. I'm seeing electric cars that are being using a generator to be able to use until the next driver comes in, certainly giving Uber and Lyft a run for their money here in this city. And definitely a little mixture of everything that's going on at this point. So to be perfectly clear, to begin off, I have to, before I even get into Austin, Texas, I have to take you guys post this time period just to give you a little bit of background what the title is for tonight. And I mentioned something about closing doors. The only way to bring that, to make that relative for the audience, is this. Before we left, I wanted to really light into my family, but when it comes to being a middle school teacher, you get irritated with kids doing little things. You get irritated with your own family doing stuff, but sometimes you have to sit back and just take it all in and laugh about it. So to start with, there is a situation where my stepdaughter is getting ready for her cheerleading practice. Really, it's her tumbling practice. And so the family's about to head out. I'm just coming in from a long day of work, and I'm starting to turn on Netflix and just to figure out what I'm going to do for dinner. And I think I might have even pulled up my work address on my websites. So as I'm sitting there, they're heading out, and they tell me they'll see me later on in the afternoon, later on in the evening, actually. And as I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, there had been, to back up again, there had been a gentleman who come to work on our dishwasher. He brought a certain part, and now there were no longer any issues. Blockhead was getting tired of having to wash all these dishes by hand, a little taste of humility there during that time period. And as the family leaves, all of a sudden, it's 5 minutes into the time period that I am reading over some emails, and I'm starting to settle down to work a little bit, put Netflix on in the background. And all of a sudden, I hear this loud music that had to have been coming from a cell phone. At least that was the interpretation I got, that maybe this guy that worked on the dishwasher had left his cell phone behind. Okay, well, I better go investigate and see where this is coming from. It's not coming from the kitchen. Eventually, I hear the music get even louder, and I get to the front of the house, and I realize it's the ice cream truck. Now, to be fair, there is a drop in climate conditions around this time period. Texas has bipolar weather that's going to have mild climate, and then there's going to be times of precipitation. But, and I get out and I see that, okay, the ice cream truck has come. I guess, you know, with how volatile that job should be, that he is trying to up his ice cream sales from. I get that. But how am I able to know that the ice cream man is in the neighborhood? Because the door is open. Because apparently Blockhead is the only one in the house that is able-bodied enough to lock a door. When they leave, they expect me to come behind them and I guess lock both of the deadbolts and then go back and do what I was doing. Never mind the fact that both of them have keys. But again, this investigation comes to a screeching halt because we realize that the ice cream truck is there, and that's where the music's coming from. It's not somebody who left their cell phone behind. It sure didn't sound like my stepdaughter's ringtone. Certainly didn't sound like my wife's ringtone. The little redheaded girl did not listen to that type of music. But sure enough, we have this door that is wide open and has to be closed by none other than myself. And just to be able to laugh at it, I go back and I tell the story over the cell phone and I say, thank you very much. I love you both. I'll see you when you come back. Learn how to lock a door. Goodbye. And I get back to doing what I was doing. But to bring that very vague and very random story back into full context here, there is this idea of in education where we're supposed to be closing the gaps. Am I right? Too often in education, we are considered to be the ones who are going to bring it home for these students. And, you know, the actual term has been to close the gap. But when I come to this convention and I am thrown every sales pitch to every social studies content that's out there, I can only bite this elephant one bite at a time. But in due time, there will be some using of these resources and definitely getting better at my craft, but it cannot happen within a 24-hour period when even though there's so many resources to use, and God bless them for those who have made them, there is still this whole, I'm not expected to come back and still work some miracles and be able to close the gaps that are happening with this story. Are we getting more of a widening chasm that is happening with education? And in so many different ways, I would say, if you look at every subpopulation, is there are a few. You may not be following a bit of what I'm telling you here, but when we are expected to bring relativity and relevance and close the gaps for somebody, this is one person's experience times about 7,600 people and a huge bottomless abyss of resources that we go, okay, I might use a little bit of this here. I might be able to follow this here. I feel like a student where I can't even keep up with the notes of the presentation. Now I know how they feel at different times. So there might be some changes that happen and when Blockhead takes off the hat of podcaster and puts back on the teaching hat and goes back into his known battleground, that is the classroom, most of the time. And even though I mentioned about Austin seeming to be very quizzical, where I can really not piece everything about it together, almost I keep sitting here and thinking it's still a very enjoyable environment. The song Incubus, Wish You Were Here, very much encapsulates that. Because those, you can't tell me those are not random but awesome lyrics. I'm counting UFOs, I signal them with my lighter, and in this moment, I am happy, and I wish you were here. And I hope maybe I can give that visual to the Blockhead Nation as they listen tonight. Coming by, being able to see the actual Capitol that's lit up in all of its beauty, to be able to see so many different moving parts that are Austin, Texas. It's been a good experience, to say the least. Now, to give you everything else I'm going to share, I don't want to take too long on this recording tonight just because this is a different setting, places to go, things to do. Don't really have any real ability to be able to do any affiliate plugs. So you won't be hearing anything about Five Finger Tees or Earthbox or Century Martial Arts tonight. You're just hearing the raw side of Blockhead himself. And in a way, that is a nice little change up. And if you are trying to follow me down this rabbit hole, I totally get it. I understand. Maybe you're a first-time listener and you're just tuning in and trying to take it all in. But most of the time when people ask, what is my podcast about? Somehow, in some way, I am connecting peanuts and I am connecting MMA. Well, if you want to figure out how peanuts is connected to all of this, World War I allows for the alter ego for Snoopy, that is the World War I flying ace. You might have seen that this year watching the Thanksgiving episode. You won't see him if you watch the Thanksgiving episode. You'll only see Snoopy going to fisticuffs with a chair. But nonetheless, you will be seeing a lot of World War I flying ace on his Sopwith Camel and finding the Red Baron. Well, I will tell you, when you look back on everything that has happened within 100 years, there is proof and there is evidence that history will repeat itself again and again. There's a wonderful article that we shared that I'm not able to pull up at the time period because Wi-Fi is a bit sketchy in the spot I'm at, about Snoopy's relevance to World War I and about the battles that they take into the air during that time period. Anybody who wants that, I can always send you the resources to it through the Facebook page, Instagram page, or anywhere you want to follow the podcast. If you want to know a little more about Snoopy and his relevance in World War I, glad to do it. But that's not the only thing that's relevant to 100 years now. We're at a centennial period with World War I, and everything in history repeats itself. Standardized testing. World War I. When you have the draft, you have to give out aptitude tests and IQ tests to see who can work the new technology in the tanks, who's going to go out and mine sweep, who's going to be in the infantry. Standardized testing started 100 years ago, full scale, during this time period. Lingerie. World War I. The relevance of mud. I even talked about that in one of my episodes about Spindletop, about the oil discovery, about how mud is still used to this day. Now it's a synthetic compound. But if you look at how mud and camouflage really come to the forefront during World War I, barbed wire, all these things are coming full circle. History is repeating itself. Just something to chew on a little bit. This is the war that cannot be forgotten, that put everything into full effect that we are still feeling to this day. All the way from our involvement to the Treaty of Versailles. There might need to be a lot more that are discussed on this show about World War I, not just how Snoopy represents it against the Red Baron. That will come full circle many times during this. So definitely wanted to get that out there and share that with you. So I, you know, YFB is going to keep it clean, but you, the Blockhead Nation, y'all can cuss and discuss all you want to and see how much relevancy World War I still has 100 years later. Again, if you look for the pattern, it's full circle. And another thing that I have to get in there is always talk about my interpretations of what's going on in the world of MMA. So I look into a quick article that comes over, Low Kick MMA. I think I went back to Bloody Elbow like I normally do. I haven't really had a chance to look at The Athletic. There are a couple of good podcasts on The Athletic and good articles that really can bring some relevance to what's going on in MMA today. But what I can tell you that I continue to get aggravated about is the direction that it has gone with money making. And not to mention this article I'm talking about in particular, there's another one about Dana White taking a picture with Floyd Mayweather and about a predicted event. It's so vague and broad that it's even hard for us as fans to even distinguish what he's talking about, except this is going to make Dana White a lot of money. The owner of the UFC, by the way, just in case you are not following who I'm discussing. It's just for those who don't know. Those that have been following the Blockhead Nation for a while, I haven't really vented how I feel about Dana White, but I am going to say something that I believe should be a change that happens in his office. It has been mentioned many times in his office that there is a picture of Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner in the first Ultimate Fighter, both of those guys fighting it out for a contract. And yes, at the end of the night, both of them do get one. That picture is up in his office. Why? To remind him of where the company was up until that point and what direction they are heading. We study history to see how we got to current day and to figure out what direction we are heading in the future. And maybe if we decide to make some type of a graphic diagram, maybe if we connect it from that picture, maybe we should go ahead and add about three more to make this a four square in Dana White's wall behind his desk. Let's add three of them right now. Not just do we need to leave Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner in all of its glory, we need to make sure we add a picture of him accosting the Ultimate Fighters from season one, his famous speech of, "Do you want to be a fighter?" There is talk amongst the guys that they don't want to go into this fighting competition. And apparently Dana White breaks every speeding record that there is on the street, breaks every speeding limit to break his make his way to the gym, and has this talk about, think about why you're here. You want to be like Randy Couture. You want to be like Chuck Liddell. You want to be like some of the guys on the wall in here and do something for the sport. This is going to be hard work and a lot of sacrifice. And if you make us money, we're going to make you money. So the question is, do you want to be a fighter? Maybe we need to go back to that talk here. Because it seems like everybody wants to chase the golden goose that is Conor McGregor, including post-UFC 244 game-bred Jorge Masvidal. Because on social media, we have this little Twitter war about him saying, put your money where your mouth is, how Conor will face anybody. Now, again, I get that he is bulking up his chest. I understand that he's flexing a little bit on the internet. But my question goes back to, not necessarily do you want to be a fighter. We've had Jorge Masvidal and so many of these talented guys prove it. My question is, do you want to be the best? There's no denying that Jorge Masvidal is the number one contender. Forget the gimmick that is the BMF title, because that fell through with a doctor stoppage that nobody can predict. He is officially the number one contender for the welterweight championship. You're going to have a battle between two guys, Kamaru Usman, whether you enjoy the guy or not. Let's appreciate the ethnicity. Let's appreciate the sacrifice. Let's appreciate this Nigerian has become the champion of the world alongside Israel Adesanya. Something to celebrate when it comes to society and culture. But the question becomes whether it's Colby Covington or Kamaru Usman, who is still holding the title come December, Jorge Masvidal, do you want to stick your hand in the cookie jar, or do you want to be the very best and be holding the title that is the welterweight championship of the UFC? You officially hold the record for fastest knockout that showed that not everybody is cut out to be in the UFC. Ben Askren stayed, even though he wanted the opportunity and would walk through fire for it, and finally got the opportunity. He is not elite enough to be in the UFC. His time has come and gone. It's a boom and bust cycle with Ben Askren. We found out that Jorge Masvidal is many years of hard work at bare knuckles in the backyard with Kimbo Slice and the likes of sorts. And now we've got him with the title of the BMF gimmick, which should be the number one contendership. And whoever's holding the title, I would love to see him lay hands on Colby. But regardless is, the question has to go back to the wall. Do you want to be a fighter? Do you want to be the best? And maybe we should go ahead and add a couple of more pictures up on that wall for Dana White. Maybe we should add his reaction to the doctor stoppage on how his little BMF title didn't seem to pan out the way that it should have in his mind. And why don't we add the fourth picture of him and Floyd Mayweather? Let's go full four square with this. Which one are you willing to bounce the ball in? Do you want to be the very best? Is this about going after the gold rush that is Conor McGregor or anybody else with fandom standard for that matter? Or do we want to be the best and bring back the validity of actual titles like the welterweight championship, like the middleweight championship of the world that Israel Adesanya holds, that Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre once held as well? Do we want to go back to the light heavyweight championship where John Jones and Dominic Reyes is official for February? Can we bring back the legitimacy of the title holders? Or are we widening the chasm even more as we continue to chase the golden goose? I'll leave that for you to cuss and discuss tonight. It looks like we got some guys there waiting on me. I've got a grilled cheese and brisket that is on one of the strips that are here on Austin that is calling my name. And I will tell you, there was another place that we got a chance to go and eat such wonderful cuisine, being able to embrace what has to be my favorite food, particularly in this world, which would be comfort food, which would be soul food, to be able to sit back and have chicken and waffles and be able to have blues riffs in the background. Blockhead is more than satisfied. He's gotten that off of his chest. He has shared with you the story of the door that needs to be closed. Apparently, I didn't make sure that I always go back and double check my own family and not get onto my middle school kids so much who have more things they worry about. But nonetheless, that's one less headache to get all this out and to be able to share with you a small little segment from the heart of Texas that is Austin. And they're keeping it weird, and YFB is keeping it real. And we will see you guys next time. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel, and that is the way the cookie crumbles.